Hey guys, it's great to be with you today. I look forward to our time together. But the first thing that we're going to do is receive communion together. So if you have your wafer, if you have your juice, you can get that out and we'll be taking that together in just a moment. You know, at the Last Supper, Jesus was with his disciples and he knew that he was about to be betrayed. He was about to be tortured, ultimately crucified, to pay the price for our sin. And in that moment with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body that's broken for you." And then he took the wine and said, "This is my blood that's spilled for you." And then he said this, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's a big theme all through the Bible, that we remember the goodness and graciousness of God. So together, we're going to receive communion. And that is for us a time to reflect, recognizing what God did for us, checking our own heart and receiving it with a purity that only comes through his forgiveness. So I'm going to grab the wafer and the juice and I'm going to pray. And then we'll receive together communion after I pray. So Father, just thank you so much for how much you love us, for the forgiveness, for the redemption that you give us. Lord, I just pray that we never forget. Never forget, Jesus, what you've done for us. Your body took the brokenness of our sin. Your blood, as it drained from your body, and brought us life. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Well, it's great to be with you. And I know this is our fourth week. There's like connection that, man, I know that's the word that God gave me was the word was connect. And I know that there's social distancing and there's a distance even in the fact that you're watching me on a screen and I don't get to see you and we don't get to talk to each other or hug necks with our friends at church. But can I say that distance doesn't have to equal disconnect. And so my prayer for you is that you connect, that you get plugged in, that you get plugged in on Facebook to a community group. I know I did that. I plugged in with my people in the Iowa and Lacassine. And I forgot where the other one is. Iowa, Lacassine, Welsh, Kinder. We got people from Kinder in that, from Oberlin. Get plugged in. Get connected. Stay connected. And today's message is really, I think, fitting for all of us, but even for those that are like, oh, I don't know if I can connect, because today I want to look at the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, recognizing the tactic of the enemy was to make it about him. And if I had a title for today's message, I guess it would be, "It's Not About Us." It's not about us. And in Matthew chapter 4, that's what we see. And the question that I kind of asked out of all of this, at least asked myself as I read Matthew 4, is like, what's leading me? What am I being led by? Am I being led by the Spirit of God? Or am I being led by the spirit of this world? Maybe a spirit of fear or chaos or confusion or doubt or death, spirit of hopelessness. What spirit's leading you? I have a great story. Pastor Josh and I, for our podcast, our Facebook Live thing we did Wednesday night, we were talking beforehand about some of the stuff we walked through as a kid, and Pastor Josh actually reminded me of this story, and I'd kind of forgotten it. When I was a kid, my dad was building a swing set, a metal swing set out of drill pipe, and he was welding it together, and he had to flip it over. It was laying on the ground like this, a big A-frame, and it needed to be flipped over, but he was concerned that it was heavy and big and about 12 feet tall and really wide, that as he flipped it, it was going to tip quickly, and then it would break the welds. And so he was trying to slow it down, trying to figure out, how do you slow it down when it's tipping? And so I'm about 10 years old, kind of a little husky kid. That's right. Anybody remember husky sections? I had to, for a little while in my life, had to shop at the husky section. And and so my dad was like, "Hey, hold on to this end right here, because I believe that if you hold on as it tips, you'll be like a counterweight and it'll slow it down and it won't break the welds." And so I did. I'm thinking this is really kind of cool. Like I'm holding on to the end of it and it's going up and up and I'm going higher and higher and higher. Then it gets to kind of about right here and it starts to slowly tip over and then the tipping point. And wham! It tips over. I keep holding on, but it really just slingshots me about 30 yards down the driveway, maybe 30 feet. And I land on this limestone gravel driveway on my face and get all bent up. And so here's the moral of the story. Whatever you're holding on to is probably what's leading you. So if you're holding on to fear and doubt and faith and hopelessness and just despair of what's going on around you, you're probably going to end up being flung into some really painful stuff. But if you hold on to the place that God is leading you to, it's going to be life. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference between the leading of God when he leads you to a place that you didn't expect. It's sometimes difficult to tell the difference between that leading of God or like the devil did it. And so we see this kind of in Matthew chapter 4 because Jesus has just been baptized. He's entering into his public ministry. And so we're going to read chapter 4, the first 11 verses. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry." And I'm like, wait, say what? Like the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness so that he could be tempted by the devil and he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Wait, what? Sometimes the place that God leads us to looks like a wild place and like the devil's there. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe everything's kind of caught you off guard. Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on in the world around me? More quarantine, they're extending dates. It looks like, when is this going to end? It looks like a wilderness. And you find yourself like wanting, like Jesus was hungry. Like, and I just want us to realize that if we allow him, God will lead us to a good place. There's no coincidence that as soon as Jesus was baptized and publicly in front of many, many, many people, as he came up out of the water, there was a dove that came down from heaven. There was a voice that boomed and said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And then immediately after that amazing moment, the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness and the devil is there to tempt him. How did he deal with that? Well, we're going to see what he did. It says, "During that time, the devil came and said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.'" What's the temptation here? Well, actually, let's read on and we're going to see what all the temptations have in common. He said, the devil shows up and says, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point in the temple and said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he'll order his angels to protect you, and they'll hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." But Jesus responded, "The scripture also says you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I'll give it all to you if you'll kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. So, What can we see in this moment? I really believe that we can see God was leading, the Spirit was leading Jesus to a place of temptation because of what was on the other side of that wilderness time where the devil was there. And can I just remind all of us that the enemy's tactic is to keep us from the purpose, the plan, and the call of God on our lives. And I'm convinced that the enemy was there to do the same thing. Listen, Jesus was 100% God. He's the creator of all, the creator of the universe, but he was also 100% human and had the same desires, the same temptations. He went through all of them. And at the end of the day, all temptation is rooted in this one thing. Pride. about us. Different aspects of pride, but still all pride. It's what caused Adam and Eve to fall in the garden, and it's what causes all of us to fall today. And it's the same tactic the enemy used on Jesus that he uses on us. He's trying to make it about us, and here's what, why. Because if he can make our life about us, he knows God will not be able to use us. So the enemy was going to tweak out as best he could the flesh, like the human side of Jesus, who's completely God, but also had every temptation of humanity, so that he could be kept from the purpose. And let me tell you, when you're in that wilderness and your only companion is the devil, it's easy to give into it, but don't. But don't. What were the temptations? Turn the stones into bread. This is about provision. Hey, Jesus, come on. If you're really like God and everything, like, why don't you provide for yourself? Why don't you take those stones and turn them into bread? That temptation is the same for us today. For us to be our source. When you are your source and you lose sleep because you're trying to figure out how to take care of you, you've fallen into the temptation and the trap of pride and thinking that you're your source. A couple chapters later, Jesus specifically addresses this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't worry. Look, your heavenly Father takes care of the lilies of the field, the birds of the sky. He's going to take care of you. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Stop trying to be the source of provision. God will take care of you if you trust him. So how did Jesus combat this temptation? He combated it by quoting scripture. It says, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What is God's word to you? The next temptation, to keep Jesus from his purpose and make it all about him. It was a different type of pride, but it was a pride in who he was and his person, and like, but really in his purpose. So the devil takes him to the top of the temple. The highest point in all of Jerusalem, the sacred city, at the most sacred place, and then says, throw yourself off because you're so important. You have such great purpose that surely God will protect you. Your Father will protect you. And in fact, he quotes scripture and says, he'll order his angels to protect you. They'll hold you up with their hands. You won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Scripture says that. And yet Jesus quotes scripture back and says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Listen, it was the spirit that had led him into the wilderness, but it was the enemy that put him at a place where he was above everything else. There's often a temptation, and everything becomes beneath us. People get cocky and they go, I can quote scripture. I have tremendous faith. And they begin to rattle off scripture. Can I tell you, the enemy, the devil himself, he knows the Bible backwards and forwards. It doesn't matter if you're able to quote the whole thing. If you don't live by it is what determines whether or not you're truly fulfilling God's purpose or not. God gave us common sense. You know, the reality is that if you're your source, you know what it's like? It's like trying to eat rocks. Hey, turn those stones into bread. Jesus could have, but you can't. He didn't fall for the temptation, so why do you? The temptation of the enemy is, jump off this tall building. Certainly you have tremendous faith. Can I tell you, the crazy people, they're like, we're going to all get together. None of us are going to get coronavirus, and none of that stuff applies. Can I tell you, that is a pride. It's a spiritual religious pride that says, I can throw out common sense and godly wisdom because I know what to be. They may know scripture, but they're not living by wisdom. There's a whole book dedicated to it. And then the last temptation, it's a temptation of possession. Hey, Jesus, if you bow down, I'll give you everything. What's the temptation for you and me in those wilderness moments? It's a temptation that we become our source. It's a temptation for us to go, well, I'm just going to have faith and I can do whatever I want or nothing's going to happen. Let me tell you, we're just going to be wise and trust God, know that he's with us through everything. He's with us. I'm going to live by his leading, not my best efforts. And then the last one, that I'll give you everything. Here's the temptation that we have. We want more. and we want to hold on to more. Why are people hoarding toilet paper? Because they're fearful, because they want more, they want more, they want more, they want more. Alcohol consumption has increased by 55% since the quarantines began. Pornography, the percent of increase is doubling daily because people want more. They're looking for satisfaction in something. Let's not do that. Let's not be people who are focused on getting more, that we trust God as our source, that we don't get arrogant in our faith. Real faith, real trusting in the leading of God, it's not about us. And it's marked by humility. It's marked by surrender. It's marked by peace because we trust Him. I know what God's calling us to. Not us. This can't be about us. If it's about us and we're focused on, where's my next meal coming from? Where's my next case of toilet paper coming from? Well, I just need more. If, oh, well, I'm just gonna buckle down and quote more scripture. Nothing bad. Can I just say, God's called us in this moment for it not to be about us, for it to be about Him and other people. What does that practically look like? Here's what He's called us to. I just firmly believe this. It's time apart. Not from each other. That's happening on a lot of levels, and I don't like it. It's time apart from the craziness and the chaos and the wildness of this world. We have an opportunity. And listen, I recognize that you may say, well, I'm not quarantined. I'm in the medical industry. Like, it's crazy where I am. We can be in this world, but not of it. All of us are called to be apart, like time apart from the chaos, the confusion, the wildness. The second thing that we're called to is not just time apart, but time alone. A time where we're spending like alone time with God in prayer, in study, in worship. Not about me, about Him, about His will being done. And then the last thing is time together. I know what He's calling us to set aside, to cut off all of the things of this world that bring us to the place where we're so focused on preservation, on provision, on possession, that He can't use us. Set all that up, put that aside, be set apart, spend time alone, spend time together. And here's what happens, the last part of this. When you trust God through the wilderness and you use His word as your guide, not your feelings, when you allow His word to lead you, He leads you to a place of life. You may say, when's He gonna show up? Man, I had a really good temptation to be my source. I had a really good opportunity for it to be about me and to make things happen. But as Jesus quoted scripture, you must worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. And in my Bible, the next heading is the ministry of Jesus begins. Ministry begins when we make it about Him. Look, I don't like where we are. I don't like that I'm having to do this through video, but I know this, that I am following the leading of God, and I pray that you are. And when you make it not about you, regardless of what you walk through, guess what? In the end, there's supernatural ministry that takes place first to you, just like Jesus was ministered to by angels, and then through you. And I firmly believe that this coming season is going to be the greatest season that the church ever has, because we don't make it about us. We make it about Him, and serving and reaching other people. And that's my prayer for you. And maybe you're listening today, and maybe there's some light bulbs going off. Maybe you've been wrapped up in the things of this world, but God is speaking to you today and saying, it's not about you. It's not about you. And he's calling out to you. Maybe you need to answer. How do you do that? It's really simple. You say, Jesus, I know it's not you that separated yourself from me. It's me that's chosen my way. I realize that that's not right. Actually, the Bible calls that sin. But I believe, Jesus, that you forgive me. Jesus died on the cross. His blood washes away our sin. He died so we could have life. That's forgiveness. He's just waiting for you to call on him. Maybe you need to do that today. And I want to pray with you if that's you, that if you know God's calling you to him, it's not about you. Don't make it about you. It's miserable when it's about you. When it's about God and the call to others, to him and to others on your life, it's awesome. Maybe you need to pray. Let's just pray. You can just pray with me. And just pray this. Say, dear God, I turn from my way and I turn to you. Cleanse me. Forgive me. I turn from my sin and receive your forgiveness. My life is yours. My life's about you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. I hope that some of you prayed that sincerely. If you did, let us know what's going on. Drop us a line on Facebook Messenger, on our app. You can message us or on our website. Man, my heart is to get you connected. I know that we're not having like services in person, but you can still connect to God's purpose, to godly relationships and people, and to God's plan for your life. So I pray that you do that. I'm excited about what's coming. I'm excited about Easter next week. We get to celebrate first Good Friday together in a communion service, and then Easter Sunday, and looking forward to it. Love you guys, and see you soon. Hey, don't forget to plug into a community group. Go on our Facebook, sign up, and see y'all soon. God bless. Bye-bye.